So yes, this is from your exam. So I thought we'd work through these problems together. And then actually we're at least going to set up a kind of extension to these as well, because what you did on the exam was basically the beginnings of getting equations of motion, right? Figuring out, with the exception of finding the velocity of d, figuring out angular velocity, angular acceleration, the beginnings of getting some equations of motion for this if we had forces acting on it. So we're going to set up the kind of base solution to the exam part, and then extend out into effectively chapter 6 problem from there. The solutions to the exam are up. There's a Jupyter notebook, which we may have time to talk about as well, that's going to tie into your next kind of mini projects using the software tools to do this stuff, so you don't have to do all these cross products and stuff by hand. So if we have time today, we'll get to that. If not, we'll talk about it in a lot of detail on Thursday. Okay. So let's talk through this one together. Let me close the door so we're not bothering them. Okay, so part A of this problem, we wanted angular velocity and acceleration of the disk. So how do we get there? Define some coordinate system. That's a good place to start. So we have kind of one that's already spelled out for us. That's kind of capital Z. What kind of coordinates might we want? We might want one along bar AB. So we're going to have some axis that way. We're probably going to want one along BC. We've kind of already drawn that one in, so that allows us to define the spin rate pretty easily. Right. Where's another place we're going to want to put an axis? Well, we have another rotation, right? So we have this positive theta. So it'd be nice to have one kind of that the theta is spinning about. That's kind of into the board. Hard to draw. So that's how I generally start doing my frames. And I think a good method is to pick out what axes you have rotation about, and you're going to want to lie X, Y, or Z of some frame along that axis. And then once you've kind of laid those out, you can see, well, what's the easiest way to rotate from one to another? And you can set up the other two components of your right-hand frame. So the way I solve this one is I call this y, and I put a x there. Of x, y is into the board, z is up. All right. I say, well, okay, if I'm going to go from here, and I want a frame here that's going to make it easy for me to describe L1, what's the easiest rotation for me to do that? I could rotate x up, but then I'm doing 90 minus theta, right? Or I could do z down, and it's a positive theta around y, so I did that. And then that means that kind of an x prime's in that direction, and then y prime is still kind of into the board, right? Because I rotated about that axis. Well, then I have those, and I know I'm going to want a frame here. So I could do the same thing. I could rotate about y prime by some angle to get x up there. But I also could just do beta down around y prime y and do a z there. So I have those kind of two. I have a theta and then a beta to get me from capital Z to lowercase z. And what that's going to do is rotate where kind of x is that way and y is still into the board. It's kind of hard to draw. So now I have a kind of a nice logical progression from through my frames to get from the kind of base frame out to what I would need to describe the spin. All right. So if I set up those frames, I probably, oops, let's do it this way. What's that rotation matrix between the XYZ? Well, let me back up a second. I'm going to encourage you guys to do this, continue to encourage you. To write out in plain words where your axes align. This is going to help you, I think, with these problems, particularly if you're doing stuff like this in your research and come back to it 6 months later. It will also help me a lot when I'm trying to give you partial credit and follow your work. So it's in your best interest to help me. I'm trying to help you. Okay. All right. So if we go from capital IJK to the prime axis, what's that rotation matrix look like? Yeah, it's the Y one. So we know we got this.
So cosine, so the right that's negative sine, and then sine.
Yep. All right. Let's call that R theta. And then if I do another rotation matrix from the prime axis, what's that guy? Same thing with beta. Just another rotation about Y. So that I know to go from capital IJK to small IJK, I can write that pretty easily. I'll write that here. Body fixed rotations, just pre-multiply. So that lays out kind of everything we'll need to know to gather these terms into the same frame. All right. So that's all just problem setup effectively so far. What we want to get, what we're really trying to, what we're aiming for, at least the first part of problem, part A, is the angular velocity of the disk. So how do we get there? What's the beginnings of that?
Sum all the angular velocities have in their respective frames.
Yeah, so I think the simplest way to start down this path is we have some rotation, right? So we have the psi dot about capital K. We have a theta dot about y prime. It could be either one, right? So what else do we have?
Dot.
Yeah, just phi dot. Phi phi, phophon. And that's about small k. Okay. So if I want to write this in a single frame, which I need to do, how do I, what's the easiest way to do that, looking at what we have there? Yeah, I could go to the capital IJK frame. It's kind of the easiest path to get all this into the same frame. So I could write this. Well, I could look at this matrix, figure out what those are. That's in the notes. And there's a term that goes inside there that contains basically the terms of this matrix to get from K to K. Okay. That was the first part. How do we get to the angular acceleration of that disk? Take the total time derivative of the angular velocity. And again, I think it's not bad practice. Just write it all out explicitly and then figure out what goes away. That extra 30 seconds just to write it out like that will save you a lot of mistakes. And it's a small time penalty. Particularly, again, if you're doing this in terms of your research and things like that, where it's not a time crunch. So what of these terms goes away? Well, we said that the side dot was constant, so that guy's zero. It's about capital K. Capital K is not changing at all. Okay. How about theta? We haven't really said anything about whether theta is constant, or so we can't really do anything with that term. Well, this J dot, how we define these frames is heat constant. Is it fixed, how we've defined it so far? No, right. So we've said, we've defined this frame, this kind of capital XYZ, so that it rotates with psi. So we haven't explicitly defined a fully fixed frame in this problem. So this J dot term sticks around. Okay. How about phi double dot? We haven't really said, don't think we said that was constant, right? Yeah, we didn't really say anything about it being constant. So it's the phi double dot term sticks around. And then we have phi dot. K dot, and well, this guy is definitely rotating around, right? All right, so how do I get to those two derivatives?
Angular velocity of
the
frame.
Angular velocity of the frame, right? So for us, that is, I'm going to write it like this first. And omega of the frame cross with that vector. Well, what's the k dot, small k dot? Omega of its frame cross with it. So that is small xyz. And then we need to define what is angular velocity to that capital XYZ frame. Psi dot, what direction? Psi dot K. What's the angular velocity of the small frame?
The one that we already defined of the disk.
The one of the disk. Not based on how we define these frames. Right, so we've said XYZ, our XYZ here is fixed to BC, it's not actually fixed to the disk. Yeah, that's right. So it's this without the V dot term. Okay. So we've laid out, we have kind of all the terms we need. Right, if you did a exactly that, you already got full credit for this thing, even though, you know, we haven't worked out the cross products and what. So that's part A. Questions about that? There's certainly other ways you could do these frames, right? I think, you know, you could have fixed XYZ, then a rotating XYZ, then follow these frames along, or then maybe even one more frame that is fixed to the disk, which would be a common way to go.
Yeah. So if we were to fix X, the little XYZ to the disk, then that frame would include phi? Or just because we didn't define it to the disk, that's why it's not included in the angular velocity?
That's right. It's not fixed to the disk, okay. Right? It's fixed to BC. Some common mistakes in this one were kind of mixing up what these guys needed to be. Remember, when you're doing that derivative, it's the angular velocity of the frame. Okay. Was that?
Oh, you already graded them?
Yeah, I got them. I'm going to give them back to you today. But I want you paying attention to what we're doing, not to the what grade you got. I'll wait till the end for you to get angry at me. So yeah, I think that was a common, you know, common mistake here is, you know, mixing up with these, those frame angular velocities. It needs to be the angular velocity of the frame that that vector is described in when you're doing that vector derivative. Okay. So part B was, I'm going to the velocity at point D. So how do I get that? I just have that velocity equation, right? So I have velocity of D. Omega. Well, I'm going to leave it general for right now. We'll talk about what it could be. Okay, well, I need to be able to define what VC is. So you could go through B. You could go all the way back to A for VC, since there's basically you could do this vector pretty easily based on those frames. Right. So that's what I did, actually. And A and C are definitely on the same rigid body. So you don't have that relative term. Or C relative to A is pretty easy to describe with what the frames we have. So, okay. Are these two the same omega in this case, given what we have, what we're showing here? Yeah, they're not necessarily the same. It could be. For our set of frames, they're not going to be, though. Right? Because this is the frame that this vector is described in, basically. Right? So there's kind of a, if you use different frames, there's a variety of different ways this can kind of shake out. Right. With our particular frame, if we're looking for the general solution that's valid for all time, then yeah, this is, you probably have some, probably have a relative velocity term. Because that frame is fixed to the disk, that point D spinning around. You could also approach it, and what I did in the solution I did, I posted at least, is kind of consider, hey, I'm just going to think of D as the top of the disk. So what's the velocity of the top of the disk, the topmost point of the disk as it's spinning around. So in that case, that D is always in the minus I direction. And then you don't have a relative velocity term. And if you did that, that's fine, as long as you state that's your assumption in the problem. Right? I think that's a valid way to think.
But we can't necessarily say that if it's not fixed to the disk, right?
Well, I think it's depending on how you think about D. Right? If you're thinking about D as that point of the disk, then yeah, you have to include this term.
Okay.
Right. If you consider, hey, I'm looking for the velocity of the topmost point of that disk at any time, and the topmost point of that disk is always in that direction.
Okay.
Right. And you don't have a relative velocity any longer.
I see.
And which one of those you do, it's kind of hard to say in kind of a made-up problem like this one, which one is really appropriate. But on the exam, as long as you kind of laid out what you did, you got credit either way, as long as you kind of explained what you were doing. So that lays those out. So in that case, this ends up being what? Small x, y, z, right? The frame of that. Let's grab that. What about this one? Yeah, it really depends on what vector, what frame we're using to describe this guy. Right, so the key point there is that these guys have to match. And then part C is acceleration. That effectively follows the same thing, but for the acceleration equation. Okay. Questions about that? All right, so before we move on to problem two, let's think about maybe an extension to this problem. Let's see. Get this out of the way. For right now. And what I'm going to do is say, hey, he's purple. We have an applied torque, tau 1, about that z-axis. And we have applied torque, tau 2, about that y-axis, about this pin joint. So we have a motor here, basically. And I'm just going to say, in general, we have gravity. Okay. So what I'm setting up here is, okay, how do we take the beginnings of this? This doesn't matter so much anymore for us. And get two equations of motion. Okay. So what would be the first step beyond what we have on the board? Now we have forces in play. We've got a free body diagram, right? So I'm going to draw it on this, just on this picture. We have gravity, right? We're going to assume that the bars are massless, which is effectively saying this disk is much more massive than the linkage, which we can often do. So I have gravity acting at the center of mass of the disk. Okay, I have the two applied torques. Do we have anything else?
Interactions at A and B is one.
Yeah, so just at A, right. So I'm going to draw those as one in that direction and one in X. Yeah. What else? You have a pin reaction. Do we have a pin reaction in Y? Oh, not if this is a pure pin, perfect pin, right? What else do we have? One more thing. Anybody? Moment there. And we can think of this having a reaction moment there as well. Or we could kind of say, hey, torque, you know, the applied torque kind of is so much more massive that it handles that no problem. So that's what I decided to do. So your applied torques, tau 1, tau 2, gravity at the center of mass, and then our reactions at point A. Okay. So, for this problem, if I'm trying to find equations of motion, how many equations of motion are there going to be? It's a question to think about.
Two.
Two? For theta, one for beta. Any other guesses? How many degrees of freedom? That's really the question I'm asking. How many degrees of freedom are there?
There's three.
There's three. What are they? Or what's one way to describe them? There's, of course, there's more ways.
I mean, I would call it like you have freedom in beta. You have freedom.
Well, beta is fixed.
I'm sorry, I'm theta.
Theta.
You have freedom to rotate about big Y and theta.
Yeah.
You have freedom to rotate about big Z with psi, and you have freedom to rotate about little Z and phi.
Yeah. Right. So you need those. You need those three angles to completely describe the configuration, which is one way to kind of think about degrees of freedom. Right. What's the minimum set of coordinates I need to be able to completely and unambiguously describe the system configuration? So we have 3 degrees of freedom. We're gonna have 3 equations of motion. Okay. And we might say, well, hey, I'm gonna expect my states to be that set. And we'll see why I used Q here. Maybe Thursday or a week from today, maybe. It's probably more likely. Okay. So if I'm trying to set up those 3 equations of motion, what's my next step? Sum some forces. Okay, that's a good step. Let me put that here. Sum of the forces equals what? Mass times acceleration of what?
I'm sorry,
C. Why C?
The center mass is
center of mass of the disk. Yeah, we're assuming that disk is uniform, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, sure. Okay. So we actually would have found, in terms of finding AD, right, we would have found AC along the way, so we would have known that part of the equation. What forces do we have? So we actually have there we go. So we have some equations. We have those reactions. We don't know what they're going to be. What's next? Summing moments about something. What do I have to choose when I'm summing moments? A point to sum them about. That's right. What point do I want to use here? C. We can always use C,
yeah.
Center of mass. Right. I'm going to agree with that too. Sum of the moments about C is equal to what? What's the MA side of that equation? If we pick C properly. What is H to C?
It's just the principle of move.
Anybody?
It's a total time derivative of our angular momentum.
Yeah, H of C is angular momentum. So we have the angular velocity of the disk. We would just need to pick out some inertial terms. If we pick x, y, z, this frame, that's also a set of principal axes for the disk. If we assume that's a thin disk. So that would simplify forming this for us. We can use Euler's equations at that point. And then what moments do we have about this guy, point C?
Vector R to R C A cross force of the
R, and I have what it's AXI okay, it's part of it. What else do we have?
It's T1 or tau 1 about big J.
Mm-hmm.
Tau 2 about big J.
There you go. That's going to give you six equations, right? But you have three reaction forces that get canceled out, basically. Six equations, three unknowns gives you three equations. Okay. Questions about that setup, at least. Procedures basically doesn't really change a whole lot if you're doing Newton-Euler. find some frames, draw a feedback diagram, do this. Okay. So then let's look back at... No questions before I erase this. Alright, let's look at problem two. In this problem, we have this T bar, and then there's a disc. That's gross. That's better. We have a disc, and we have a set a little ant out here. Angle from vertical described by theta, and she is at a distance r out of that on that disk. The disk is rotating this way. Omega 2, the whole t-bar mechanism is rotating by omega 1. Center of that disk, which we are going to call Q, is at a distance L away from this point. Let's call that guy O. We have a point that will come into play later in this problem. The top of this T-bar is P. We're going to have an axis there. So let's go ahead and draw him in. And we're going to define ant as A for ant. Okay. What we're looking for here, we're trying to find velocity and acceleration of the ant. And then we're looking for velocity and acceleration of point P as the ant sees it moving. So what do we need to do for the part? Well, this is ABC. Where do we start? Coordinate system. Okay. Well, we know we have kind of one axis here. We're going to want one there if possible, or maybe the opposite of that. It'd be nice to have one along this T so we can describe that distance pretty easily. So you could go maybe x, y to get a positive z. I just solved it with x that way, y that way. So that way theta is positive, but omega 2 is actually in a negative direction. Right, so I just had this guy z, capital X, y, z fixed to the t. And then we have capital X, along OQ. What else might be useful? Yeah, maybe one on the disk. It might be useful to have one kind of that direction. It would make the position of the ant relative to Q easy to describe. Well, that looks to me just like a rotation of capital XYZ about Y by theta. So that means that's going to be Z. Y is still into the board. And X gets rotated down by theta. The other way to think about this is to have a capital XYZ that's fixed, and then you have a prime that's actually fixed to the T-bar. That's a completely valid way too. So go that direction, and I think that's actually how I did it in the notes. So let's do. Let's choose that one. X prime, Y prime, Z prime. X prime, X, Y, Z is just fixed. So then this guy is actually X prime. And this is capital Z and Z prime. Could go either way. All right. So then. Part A, how do we get to velocity of the ant? In some frame. Okay. So what I'm choosing to describe, what frames I chose here, again, determine what this angular velocity and the regular in this guy needs to be, right? I could basically completely describe this thing in the X prime frame, in the prime frame, then I'm going to have a relative velocity of the ant within that frame. You see that? So I could use the prime frame, right? It's kind of fixed to the T-bar. The ant is omega 2 spinning like this, so he has some relative velocity within the prime frame, right? And if I do that, then this guy needs to be that, right? And I need to describe this in x prime, y prime, z prime, right? I also could do it like that, where I have the small xyz frame, the spinning with omega 2, and in that case, the ant doesn't have a relative velocity within that frame. Right. So I have this choice, and that's a common choice to have, based on what frame you're choosing to describe the problem.
And you just kind of decide which one's easier?
Yes. So which one of these gives me less math to do, which one has less coordinate transformations to make it all work out? So I think it's a helpful way, particularly like when you're working homework problems or practicing this stuff, to do it both ways. Kind of get the feel for which one tends to work out easier, depending on the type of problem, that kind of thing. Right. When we get to Lagrange and Cayes' method, pretty soon, right? I think a really nice way to kind of get some intuition about those methods, you've done Newton-Euler probably most of your career, right? Solve a problem Newton-Euler, solve a problem with Lagrange, solve a problem with Newton-Euler, solve a problem with Cayes' method. Right? You better get the same equations of motion. You better get the same VA here if you put everything in the same final frame. Okay. So let's define some terms. Get some time. What is, we're going to need VQ either way, so let's look at him. What's VQ? Yeah, so I can do the same thing. I can do VO. I'm going to definitely say O and Q are on the same rigid body. That, well, okay, now what omega do I want to use when I'm describing that one?
Prime.
Yeah, in that case, I probably want to use the prime frame. Because this is super easy to describe in the prime frame. The position of Q relative to O. Right? So there I know R of Q relative to O. Totally easy. Okay. What's the angular velocity of that frame? Omega 1 k prime, get that pretty easy. What's the velocity of point O? Zero, that's right. So we get an expression that, hey, that's k prime cross with L I prime. K cross I is positive j, L of omega 1 j prime. Does that make sense for the system? Point Q is in pure rotation about O. So if you recognize that, you could have skipped all this stuff too. Okay. And then, yeah, depending on which way you go here, you can fill in terms. I'll let you guys do that.
Are both of those constant? And omega 1 there too?
Let's see. We said neither. We made no assumption about either one of those being constant. So part B, you can just write the acceleration version of this, right? And kind of do the same stuff. I think pretty straightforward. Worked a number of those problems. Full solutions in the posted already, actually. Let's think about part C for just a second. I think a lot of you are kind of thinking along this in the right direction, but didn't quite get there. So if I'm going to write the velocity of point P from the ant's perspective, okay, what I want to do is start with that equation, and I'm going to write the velocity of P. Let's fill out some more terms, sorry. For it to make sense. Okay. So I know that has to be true for the system. If I pick, you know, figure out what that omega needs to be in this case. What is the actual, so right, this is the total velocity of point P. What is that? Zero. Yeah. So I know this guy over here is zero. Right. What I'm looking for...
It's fixed,
it's fixed to the top of the bar. He's not moving at all. Right. So now I have, you know, I can know VA from part A of this problem. And I can figure out this part. That's just those vectors. Right. This is what I'm actually looking for. This is the position velocity of point P relative to the frame I'm using to describe the thing. So all you do is collect terms, and you have that. Make sure the sign's right. Acceleration works the same way. Right? We know the acceleration of point P is zero. We know the acceleration of A from part B of the problem. Collect terms to figure out what that is.
Would you describe that in the capital frame? And how would you... Or what would be the best?
I would probably do this in the prime frame. So basically, this part C is just rearranging the terms of that equation. And the full math of all that is in the solutions. So feel free to review compared to yours. If you have specific questions about where your problem, you know, your solution compared to mine, et cetera, just come by my office. It's a place to talk about that. Okay. Let's see. Did I have? I think I did a little bit extra on that one too. Okay, so in this case, so I can do that. Problem two extension. Let's take a few minutes to just set up something, because it's something that we'll need quite often when we're working these problems. What is the angular momentum of this disk? So extension I want. Why might I want that? What do I need that to be able to form? Equation of motion. I need that for the moment. Equation. So if I'm going to talk about angular momentum, there's a choice I have to make. What choice is that? Yeah, where I'm going to describe the angular momentum about, which is going to be kind of related to where I need to sum moments about. Right? We can always use the center of mass, so let's just do that here. So what we're looking for is angular momentum about point Q. How do we get there? What do we need to figure out? Yeah, we need the angular velocity of this disk. And then what else do we need? For angular momentum?
I guess not.
Okay.
We also need the position of Q.
Position of Q. Nope.
In terms of the moment's inertial
properties. Yeah, we need the inertial properties of the disk. Right? And we have some choice, so kind of how, what frame and where we choose to describe those about. Right? So if you choose, in this case, kind of x, y, z, what's maybe special about those, that x, y, z axis? It's principal, yeah. So if we're assuming this is a thin disk, which we are, those x, y, that x, y, z frames, principal means we have no products of inertia. Right? So we have something like that. Where is the angular? That's the full angular velocity of the disk. What is the angular velocity of the disk? So you have, I'm going to call it K prime for now. And there's actually a minus omega 2 in y, or y prime, right? Y is into the board, so minus. Or you could write positive theta dot if you wanted. Either way is fine. Prime. I need to take these, however, and write them in x, y, z for this to work. So I need to transform these guys. And then put it in there. I mean, I've got momentum, and then I can take, I'm trying to form moments, so I might have some torques over here or something. Away I go on my equations of motion. Okay. Last bit, we'll get to the third problem, which does angular momentum, actually. Questions about that one, that kind of setup? Nope. All right. We can go back here. This is a problem from my first midterm when I took this class, actually. So we have this, well, let's make that a little shorter. And then there's a plate. You can assume this bar is kind of perfectly thin, so it's right at the bottom edge of the plate. And it's kind of hard to really draw it that way. Plate has mass M. Its long side is 2L, short side is L. Okay. And is rotating according to omega. Right. And this one we already even prescribed a couple frames. A capital X, capital Y about an origin O, the corner of that plate. And we had a small XY at the center of the plate. Okay. And we did say that in this case, omega is constant. What we want, part A, angular momentum about point O. And then what moment has to happen at O for this motion to be able to occur, to maintain a constant rotation rate? Okay, so where are we going in this problem? Okay, so we know that, hey, well, the just omega capital I, right? Okay. Yeah. So I could write it, you know, basically it's omega there. It's always implied, right? Well, how do I get to what other? So I have the angular velocity of what I'm trying to figure out. What's the other? If I'm trying to find angular momentum, what do I need? I need those inertial properties. So I need that inertial matrix generally. I need moments of inertia, products of inertia. What we can say about those is we're almost, if we're going to look this up in a table, we're going to be given those about x, y. So we have to do the parallel axis theorem to get over to O from that. So if you just said that, hey, kind of these Z, I, Y, Z, you just define that, you were good to go in terms of what I said in the problem. Because it explicitly said, hey, you don't have to calculate these for a thin plate, but define what they might be. Right? So we have kind of just generic moments and products of inertia. You could even go a step further than this, maybe. If we have no thickness in the z direction, what are these guys? The xz and yz products.
Zero,
right? So think about this a little bit, the actual physics of it, we know those guys are going to go to zero. Right? That's not something I took off for, but something that you could know. I think it's conceivable to think of a thin plate that way, to have that knowledge as a grad student. So then I know my inertia matrix. This. Right. And then I know HO. Omega, which gives me IXX. Omega X. I direction, x, y, omega, and the j direction. And that's part A. Okay. Part B. We want to know what moments are necessary at O to sustain this motion. So how do I figure that out? Yeah, I know the sum of the moments about 0.0 is just this. I can look at this guy, I can do the total time derivative. What do these go away? Well, we said the rotation rate was fixed. I is definitely always fixed. Okay, rotation rate is fixed. The direction of J fixed. No, so J is changing. So we have x, y, omega. Well, what's the rotation rate of that frame? It's body fixed on the disk, so it's the same as the disk, right? Cross J. Right. Part B. When I was in your seat, this used to make me so angry. That I'd spend pages working on a problem and then it's four lines.
It looks so easy.
Yeah. Well, I've done this a lot. Right. I think that's. But yeah, when I was in your seat, that used to make me angry. So I understand your feelings if that's frustrating for you to see that. Okay. Questions about that one? All right, so I think that's a good place to stop. We don't have an extension really to that one. It's pretty kind of too much, pretty straightforward. I will mention again, while we're packing up and getting ready to hang your exams, if any of this is not making sense to you guys, come see me. I've only seen one of you with any questions about what's going on. All right. So I'm available. I'm here more often than I should be, probably. So even my office door is closed, it's not. I'm physically here. The door is figuratively open, even if it's literally closed most times. So if it's something you're not getting, if you're working problems on your own and don't know whether your solution is right or your method is right, come ask me. Let me help you. All right. So I'll let you guys sort through those. Pretty wide range of scores, but it's tough to really tell with just five people what the statistics really mean. So, again, check your. I tried to pick out. I tried to help you do much as I can for partial credit and all that kind of stuff. If you have specific solutions about or specific questions about your solution, how it compares to the ones I did, and those kind of things, feel free to stop by. Like I said, the solutions are posted, and there's a Jupyter notebook posted with the solutions as well. So, okay. See you guys on Thursday.